Welcome to the Pilgrim's Odyssey, where we find clarity and meaning in a crazy world. I'm your host, Silouan, coming to you from Sycamore Hill. I've spent over 20 years helping people from all backgrounds find focus in the ashes and fog of life. Every episode, I share with you the incredible stories and valuable lessons I've learned along the way, here on the Pilgrim's Odyssey. I'm your host, Silouan. Another day in the coronavirus pandemic. All I will say today is this. If it is sunny in mid-60s where you are, like it is here, go outside, get some fresh air. Those little bugs do not like the sun and breezes. That is all on this topic of which we are all sick of. So, we are in part 3 of 3 of my suicide series. Episode 1, I introduced you to Dr. Roy Baumeister and his suicide as escape from self theory of suicide. Go back and listen if you haven't. Episode 2, we talked about Dr. Thomas Joyner and his book, Why People Die by Suicide, and a discussion I had with a good friend of mine who is a suicide prevention expert at the VA. Today, we're talking about Viktor Frankl and his theory of suicide, the shortest, the most poignant, and in some ways, the most important, because it leads to what you need to do about it. For those of you that don't know, Viktor Frankl was a psychiatrist who happened to be a Jew during the time of Hitler. He was taken away to Auschwitz. In that horrible hell on earth, his wife, who was 7 months pregnant, was stripped naked, put in a gas chamber, then burned. So was his mother. So was his brother. He saw a lot of death, a lot of death. He dedicated his life to trying to understand evil, despair, its influence on us, and how to overcome it. What he discovered, one of the things he realized before, during the death camp, and when he got out, is that we all despair. And in some ways, our ability to avoid despair is the most important factor whether somebody is going to be emotionally healthy or emotionally ill. No, it's not. Are you going to avoid suffering? Everybody's going to suffer. The question is the suffering going to lead to despair or not? Now, the quote I have of Viktor Frankl that talks directly about suicide and the one I want to share with you today, and there will be many more upcoming episodes on Viktor Frankl, so make sure you check back. In fact, the next episode will probably be on Viktor Frankl as I delve more into what do you do when you feel despair. Right now, people are feeling despair. Now, that despair might not necessarily lead to suicidal thoughts. It might not lead to depression, but it could lead to some bad stuff if we don't come out of it. So what did Viktor Frankl say about despair and suicide? Here's what he said, very short and sweet. A life without meaning leads to despair, which leads to suicide at its most hopeless. Now let me repeat that to you again. A life without meaning leads to despair, which leads to suicide at its most hopeless. When what we are doing seems meaningful, we will put up with a lot. When what we are doing does not seem meaningful, we will literally despair and wonder, what am I here for? Now I will give you a great example from my life. When I was a young man, I was joining the Marine Corps, I was going to officer's candidate school. The amount of bad things I would put up with to be a Marine was almost infinite. I would get yelled at and called names and run through dirt and crawl under barbed wire with a smile on my face. Why? Because what I was doing was meaningful. I wanted to be a Marine. I would do anything to do it. And at the end of the day, when I lay down in bed, I felt little to no stress, really, because I was doing what I needed to do. Now, I might have been tired. I might have been worn out. Definitely during the day when you were doing those exercises, I felt some stress. But at the end of the day, I could sleep pretty well because what I was doing to me was meaningful. Now, let's go to the end of my time in the Marines. My back is broke. I'm waiting to be disability discharged. My career is over. I feel like a failure. There's no meaning. And literally getting through every day was horrible. Everything bothered me. I was irritable. I was angry. Anything I had to do seemed, you know, why do I got to do that? You know, paperwork I had to fill out, an appointment I had to go to, things that were easy to do bothered me. Why is that? Because it had lost its meaning. Think of relationships. Think of when you're falling in love with somebody. The sky has never been bluer. I've never been happier in my whole life. Think of what it means to say, I'm going to marry someone. It's saying, I want to be with you forever. You are the last person I want to be with before I die. Okay? Think of where our head is. Why? Why do we feel that way? Because it's meaningful. Now, think of the tail end of a bad relationship, whether it's divorce or you're just breaking up with a boyfriend or girlfriend, and it's lost its meaning. Think of all the things about them that bother you, okay? The way they eat, the clothes they wear, the way they walk. Heck, if it gets bad enough, you don't like the way they think, even though you really don't know what they're thinking. I mean, how many of you, you've been in a bad relationship near the end and you look at that person and you're like, oh, I know what you're thinking. I just know and I hate it. And you don't even know. That's the importance of meaning. Well, folks, life is the same way. When life has meaning, you're looking forward, you have hope. Even when you're going through bad things, you have a feeling of, I'm going to make it through it. When life doesn't have meaning, every day can seem insurmountable. Every moment can seem like it's something that's not going to pass. That's why, you know, it makes sense if you think about it, but it's true why so many middle-aged people and older people commit suicide. Because if life is past them, you know, maybe you're someone and your kids left the home and your whole meaning was your kids and now they're gone. And now you wake up every day and you go, well, who am I? What am I now? And if you don't have an answer to that meaning question and you don't have that thing propelling you forward, I got to take care of the kids. I got to make sure they're doing okay. It can leave you in a bad place. It's someone who retires, a high-speed businessman. His whole career, he's been busy, and now he's alone for the first time. It could be a young man or woman who goes to war, and they put up with hell, and they make it through it because it's meaningful. It's life or death. I'm willing to do this for my brother or sister next to me. And then you come home, and you look around you where most people don't serve. Most people aren't that motivated. We live in a culture of motivation. Well, heck, just let me get up and play video games and eat and have a phone and I'm good. And you look at that, people living with no meaning, and you just kind of go, what's it all for? Now, this is one reason I think we were so easily panicked by this pandemic. A bunch of people led meaningless lives. We're consumers. Things that have deep meaning that do not go away are not as important anymore. Family, friends that you see physically, belonging to clubs, organizations, going to church, faith. All the temporal things are what are important. The things that don't have meaning and the things that leave us always grasping for more. I think one reason this pandemic is so crazy is because, one, it's meaningful in a bad way, but it's meaningful. Everyone starts going, oh my God, my decisions today are life or death. Politicians all of a sudden feel power. Look what we can do. Look how important we are. And I think people get intoxicated by meaning that they haven't felt. And you make some good decisions and you make some bad decisions. I think it explains a lot of what's going on right now. I really do. Now, the sad part of it is if we don't step back and understand it, what it is, when we come out of this, okay, and people are picking up the pieces and we forget the meaning piece and we forget how important it is and you end up with people just sitting around going, now what? Well, you better have an answer for now what. Now, let me kind of go back to suicide for a second. It's kind of what I said last episode. You know, you got to show somebody another way. And what's another way? It's meaning. Show them meaning. See, but you can show somebody meaning without knowing what to say. I mean, people have told me things you can't imagine. Let me just share one short little detail. It's going to make your skin crawl, but so what? Because it's the kind of thing that first responders every day see. It was a woman I'd met. She'd been a police officer for 18 years. And she walked into an apartment to see a two-month-old baby that a mother had put in front of a space heater and it had cooked. And as you can imagine, she was not ready to see that. And she had grown up as a person of faith, and in that moment, she said, I lost my faith. I said to myself, there's no God. How could there be a God? And it just sat back and watched as this baby cooked. Could have short-circuited the heater. It could have moved the baby. Nobody would have known, but it didn't. It watched it cook. And if that's true, there can't be a God. Now, that's very real. You can imagine that could lead to somebody to losing their faith, but also losing their meaning. They had grown up their whole life going, my meaning's in going to church, and they lost it. Now, I say this as someone who's a believer, okay? I've not lost my faith. But you're not going to let them watch 30 minutes of Joel Osteen and they're going to be all better. What do you say to that person? Let me suggest, it's not what you say. It's you begin to show them there's still meaning in life. You listen to them. You have a relationship with them. You sit across from them. You hear the hard things. If you can't hear what I just said, you're not ready to help people. You got to be willing to listen to people, to sit across from them, to hold their hand, to just be present. There is meaning in friendship and in being present. And then that leads to more and more things. Viktor Frankl, in one of his interviews, said, you know, everybody's got something. You know, outside of mental health conditions that, you know, are very chemical. You're schizophrenic, you're bipolar. If you don't take meds, you're going to be in a bad place. But the kind of things that develop, depression, PTSD, suicide, he said, you know, everybody's got something. And in his opinion, of those types of things, the difference between those who were mentally ill and those who were mentally healthy was one thing. Do you have meaning or not? I've kind of found that to be true. Now, obviously, they're outliers. You could be a sociopath and have meaning in killing people. We're not talking about that. But I think with your average person, you know, those of you listening right now, if you look back at your life when you were your most resilient, where you were your most hopeful, what you were doing had meaning or you had hope for meaning. And if you look back at times in your life when you were your least resilient, where you went to your darkest places, you had lost your meaning. Maybe you'd lost your faith in a relationship. Maybe you'd lost your identity. You were a mom your whole life. Now what am I? You were a dad your whole life. Now what am I? You were a Marine your whole life. Now what am I? You were an athlete. Now what am I? And the challenge is to regain meaning. Now for today, without going into it too deep, don't want to make these too long. Got to keep your attention. I just want you to think the first step to healing for anybody is taking a step towards meaning. The easiest way to find meaning that you don't have to worry about what to say, you don't have to worry about what to do, is just to be present with somebody. So if you're listening to this and you think of someone that might be struggling right now, just be present. Call them on the phone and have a long talk. Go over to their house, sit with them on their porch in the fresh air, and just be present. It doesn't even matter what you say. And if you're someone struggling, if you're alone in the dark, if all the bad things have taken you to a place where you just feel like you're in a hole, right now, I want you to just do whatever you can in your being and crawl out of that hole and just be present with somebody. Maybe it's a stranger. Maybe it's a kid walking down the street. Maybe you walk into a church and talk to a pastor you don't even know. Be present with somebody. Find meaning in the moment. Finding meaning in the moment is where we begin to drag ourselves out of the hole. And it's something we all desperately need to do in times like these. So I hope you've enjoyed my three-part series on suicide. It won't be the last time I talk about it. A lot more detail, a lot more things you could go into. If you're wondering why I did this so early in my podcast, well, the reason I'm doing this podcast primarily is I thought about doing it for years. And I was at an event in Reno where a young man came up to me. Him and his family were struggling with a very close family member who had committed suicide. The questions about it more than anything had haunted this young man's wife. In our talk, I realized about the only way I could communicate to his wife that he wanted me to, because as he put it, I don't know if I can explain this like you can, was a podcast. And I got back home about a week later, and I promised him I would launch a podcast. And one of the first things I would do was try my best to explain the inexplicable to some people, suicide. So I hope it has comforted and helped them. I hope it's helped and comforted you. Next week, the whole week, it's Hope Week. No bad stuff. It's Hope Week. It's where do you go with this? What happens after you climb out of the hole? What do you do next? That's what we're going to be talking about all next week, and I'll be drawing on my 20 years of experience, really more than that, not just doing that myself, but helping people from all kinds of backgrounds do the very same thing. You think you've been in a bad spot? Man, I've seen some bad spots, and I don't care where you're at, you can make that step forward. So until next time, I want you to aim high, spread your wings, and keep your eyes on the things that matter.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim's Odyssey. For books, videos, and more content from our host, please visit Silouan.com. That is Silouan, S-I-L-O-U-A-N.com. until your next visit on the Pilgrim's Odyssey. I'm your host, Siloan Green. So my radio can